Amen. Great. We've been talking lately a lot about diversity and how we can build that moving forward. And as we know that we're having a special Sunday on the first weekend of November. Amen. Please invite your friends, bring them on to come and have a great time of worship together as we talk about diversity. Michael Barnes will be here. We'll have a great time of fellowship and learning. But I would like to talk about that a little bit today moving forward and how we can make sure that we are in the right direction. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Ephesians 4:3. Church, in our world today, there's a lot of upheaval, anger, and resentment. And yet, if you're not careful, you can just get swept away with that way of thinking and forget that we must maintain peace in a very diverse congregation and work at it. It will not just happen because, well, we come to the same building, we worship together. We have to work at being united and focused on God and making Jesus Lord of our lives. Does that make sense? That means that as we prepare for this event coming up, that we do the due diligence in our hearts to be united, to love God, to love one another deeply, to really show Jesus Christ to the world that is looking for answers and cannot seem to find them. Okay, why is this not moving? Okay, we're moving. There are no titles or no points, but you can pick them as we go forward. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no division in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some members of Chloe, is that Chloe's household? Is that Mike's household there? Something's going on? Okay. Have told me about your quarrels, my dear brothers and sisters. It's not that household. It's a different household in the Corinthians. That household is fine. So, I appeal to you, brothers. There's an appeal. And sisters, he's appealing. He's asking you to come forward to think about where you stand with these issues. Then it says, by what? By the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by Steve's authority. By the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am appealing to you that you rethink about where you stand spiritually. And yes, in some things in your heart, there may be division that develops in there. And then he says this, to live in harmony with each other. That we have, because of Jesus being Lord of our lives, to live in harmony with each other. How are you doing in that area? How are you doing in living in harmony with each other in the body of Christ? What are you letting get in the way of your living in harmony with each other? It can be small things. It can be color. It can be food. It can be how they speak. It can be where they come from. What is it that's getting in the way of harmony? And he said, I appeal to you because of Jesus that you see beyond and above those issues and live in harmony. I mean, because of Jesus Christ and live in harmony with that person. Then he says this, rather be of one mind. We'll see what that mind is in a short while. United in thought and purpose. We've got to be united about Jesus Christ. Be of one mind about Jesus. Being right with God. Being reconciled with God. Being loving like Jesus would like us to do in God's house. And doing that well. Then he says, united in the thoughts and purpose. For some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels. My dear brothers and sisters. Question. Are there quarrels among us? And I think that our quarrels tend to go online. They don't come in the face-to-face quarreling. We're very civil in the face. Hi, how are you? How was your day? Good to see you. Good to see you. How's your day? We're very cordial in here. But online, behind the computer and behind your phone, the real person shows up. And then so we walk around and what's going on? You've got to ask yourself, what is going on in your heart? That when nobody's watching you, you put stuff online that is a little bit questionable. about our diversity and our love for one another. And what it does, it fuels suspicion and quarrels among us. And that is, sometimes you're not even talking to the right guy, you're talking to the guy there about this guy, but we got to really talk through this stuff and really come around and come to a place of peace. Amen? And we may say, but they're doing it, why can I not do it? Jesus says that you, in Philippians chapter 2, that you see, you put yourself second in humility. That you humble yourselves to walk together. If you read the whole of Philippians chapter 2, it's all about that. Is how can I make this work? Not about, this is my right. I have the right to speak. Sometimes we're so caught up in the right to speak, we forget the right to be humble before the feet of Jesus Christ. That He paid everything on the cross, we need to be humble there. And so because of that, division develops not covertly. I mean, not covert. I mean, it becomes a covert issue. That it's a currency that goes underneath us. And we talk about this stuff, but we don't seem to resolve. We keep fighting. And we just have these funny things we put on our Facebook pages, Instagram. Depending on your generation, people have moved from Facebook and other stuff. Snapchat. We can go on and on. That's just a class of its own. We need a millennial to do that and help us on that one. And these are the issues we must now begin to tackle going forward, because a house divided cannot stand. It cannot stand. It has to be united in Christ. And the uniting factor is Jesus Christ. And that's where we got to get it right. You get that right, we're going to do well. So there are quarrels. I've told about your quarrels, my dear brothers and sisters. If you look at how quarrels come about in James, it says you ask and you don't get because you quarrel and fight and you don't get because your motives are wrong. Sometimes we think that because we get our opinion out there, then we are right or somebody heard us. What about trusting that God will bring the change? How about that option? That I focus on Jesus to bring the change. Do you realize that a lot of the stuff you're trying to do, you're hoping that you can change people, that you may never do that. You may actually be pouring fuel on the fire of their whatever they're feeling. But if you pray for them and trust that God will bring about change, then the change begins to happen. Everything we tend to do as human beings is opposite to what God says. God says, trust me and put yourself in my hands. Do not revenge. I'll take care of this stuff. We feel like I've got to have a say on that. No, let it go. Give it to God. Give it to God and walk it out. You don't have to have a say on everything. Some of you are saying, I am a follower of Paul. You know, Paul Stovall, I guess. Some of you want to follow Paul Stovall. Others say, I follow Apollos or follow Peter Berry. I guess that's the guy you want to go with. Or I follow only Christ. Has Christ been divided into factions? Let me stop there. You know, we have a goal to submit to Jesus Christ and to make Jesus Lord of our lives. Amen? That means that submission to Christ affects how we work in the office. Amen? That means it affects how we parent. Amen? It means it affects our single life, our single people. It affects our purity. Amen? It affects our campus lives. It affects our street lives. It affects everything we touch. Does that make sense? That we submit to Jesus Christ. That's how it affects everything that we touch, because Jesus is Lord. That our paradigm is heavily, heavily shaped by the teachings of Jesus Christ. Not by anything else. Not by anything else. But when we are not shaped by Christ, then we are shaped by Paul, we're shaped by Peter, we're shaped by all these people, that we become leader-centric to a point where we forget, what does Jesus say? We cannot be a leader-centric church. We need to be Jesus-centric. You can't be just Bible-talk-centric church. You need to be Jesus-centric, that you respond to that. That when Jesus plays His music, you respond to that. And sometimes we can get caught up in all this and that. And I think as a church, we understand that. But when it comes to these other issues out there, they seem to grasp our hearts and we just get lost. By the time you're done with the discussion, you don't even know whether you're Christian or not. Because you're so worked up. And the answer is simple. Don't respond to people. Respond to Jesus. Because when you get responding to people, before you know it, you're going down this, the vortex takes over. And you go down the tube with them. It just takes over. It takes one word to trigger you. There's some words I know if you say, they're going to trigger me. So I walk away from that before it becomes a heavy debate. And Christ been divided? No, Christ is not divided. In our world today, we are sophisticated. We divide in our hearts. We don't divide openly. We divide in mannerism. We divide in many ways. And yet Christ is calling us to be united, not to be divided. That's what he's calling us to. Not of factions. Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in my name of the name of Paul? Of course not. I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. We need to build great friendships. We need to build great fellowship and respond to one another. But our allegiance needs to be on Jesus Christ. Amen? So we need to do that. But we cannot replace Jesus with people relationships. We can't replace that. And sometimes we do. We get so frustrated that we can only talk to people. But we need to have Jesus as the source of our faith, our conviction, how we think, how we do stuff. If we don't get that down, we are easily influenced by society, by people, and we go the wrong direction. So then I ask this question. How much do you know of Jesus? Do you know Jesus for yourself? Some of us know of Jesus. Like we know of musicians or we know of famous players. We've never experienced Jesus like one-on-one, knowing him. How much do you know about Jesus? Can you claim a relationship there and say, you know, I know Jesus for me. That when Jesus speaks, I feel peaceful. When I read what Jesus says, I know is the truth. For many of us, don't take that time to investigate what does Jesus say about me, my situation. And so we keep thinking and thinking and thinking and wonder, why don't we experience peace? Because we don't know Jesus. I said, but I go to church and I hear the message. Like I've said before, when you come to church, I am cooking a general meal. It's burgers today. But you may not need burgers. You may need rice and fish. You may need something else. You may enjoy one or two things I say, but do you get in there and know Jesus for yourself? And many of us have made decisions about Jesus because of what people say about Jesus, about church and about that. I said, no. He's real. He can transform your life. And if you get that right, then you don't get swayed by Paul, Peter, and what the preacher said. Because you got connected to Jesus. Of course not. I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except grass and that. And then he goes on. For now, no one can say that they were baptized in my name. Oh, yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. But I don't remember baptizing anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the good news. And not with clever speech, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. I'm going to come down there for a moment. But he goes on to say, for now, no one can say they were baptized in my name. Oh, yes, I also baptized the house of Stephanas, but I don't remember baptizing anyone else. We need to get people to get baptized. But when they get baptized, they need to be baptized to Jesus Christ. Amen? They're not baptized to our church. They're baptized to Jesus Christ. Amen? The church exists as the body of Christ. The church is not bigger than Christ. Christ is bigger than the church. Christ is the head of the church. We get the priority right. Amen? So you get then Christ in place, you'll have a great time in the church of Christ. If you don't get that right, you get lost in church issues. Church is not perfect, but Jesus is. We're trying hard, by the way, to be really safe and to take care of one another. We're not sleeping on that job, but we're not perfect. Nevertheless, Jesus is Lord. That's where we must go. You get that right. The next thing then he says, then we understand that. And that's what we must do well. You get baptized to Christ, not to people. Because when you get baptized to people, when they mess up, you get upset and leave. I'm not perfect. Neither are you. But that is not a jive at you to say, so you cannot question. No, that's what I'm saying, is that we can trust God to work it out. Amen? Sometimes we get so worked up about something went wrong, this went wrong, and I'm like, you're so focused on people, you've forgotten Jesus that works these things out. And that was the point that Paul was making to the Corinthians church. That some of us have held our hearts back because we're so focused on what people do, that instead of what is Jesus calling me to do? And that's when we lose it. Once you let go of that, you can give of yourself to God. And that's what he's talking about. For Christ has not sent me to baptize. He's not minimizing baptism. Don't get this one wrong. As a church, we need to baptize people. Amen? But what he's saying though, but to preach the good news, that we've been called to preach the good news. And not with clever speech. For fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. Sometimes we think that we have to find a way to make the word of God more sweet. No, just tell it as it is. Tell it as it is. Don't water it down. Don't embellish it. Tell it as it is. It has the power to convert, to help someone become a Christian. And that's what Paul is talking about. We need to help people to get baptized, to know God. Baptism is a point when you repent of you've repented of your sin and you commit that Jesus is going to be Lord of your life, and you get baptized for forgiveness of your sin, and you repent and you receive the Spirit, and that way your sins are forgiven. It's not a membership thing. Baptism is not membership. It's salvation. Amen? And if you understand it, you repent and you say, I'm no longer going to live like that. You're not going to be perfect, but you're going to keep repenting and changing. And you're getting baptized for forgiveness of sins. If you're visiting, you can ask whoever invited you. We can discuss that further. In a much more personalized, one-on-one, tailored, and you'll understand it in a better way. And then you come to a baptism, a place of saying, Jesus is Lord. Does that make sense? So you understand that, and that's what it's talking about. So we've got to talk about that. But here's the issue. How do you talk about that when you haven't had a chance to know Jesus for yourself? And some of us have been Christians for a long time. But here's what has happened. Jesus is no longer a friend. You know the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus? No. Jesus is a distant friend. I used to have a friend called Jesus. Maybe that's how we talk about him. And so we let a lot of stuff get in the way. For some of us, really, honestly, Jesus is not somebody we experience. We think it's just a good story. Talk to the people that have been to Israel, to Palestine, and seen their anthropology facts about Jesus, and you will see it's real that Jesus walked on earth. Sodom and Gomorrah has been found. That the fire normally burns up, and they said it was burning down. And there was no volcanic eruption around the place. It has to be Sodom and Gomorrah that God was raining down fire. It was like sulfur. It's real. The world is shouting at us so much that we are beginning to lose the grasp of our faith. We're tempted to think that, you know, maybe, I don't need to entrust myself so much on Jesus. You really need to. Jesus is the answer to all kind of issues that we have. You got to give yourself to that. But this work, how do you do that? Let us discuss the Bible one-on-one. Well, I've been a Christian 10 years and I feel like I'm losing a grasp of that. That is why you need a one another relationship that the other man or woman may spur you on to good deeds. Let's talk about that for a moment. A need for brokenness. Before I go to the next thing, let's talk about a need for brokenness. The word brokenness may strike fear in some people. Yeah, we are afraid to talk about brokenness. But it is really not a bad word. God doesn't desire to break our spirits. That's not what I'm talking about. Destroying your back, all that. No, God does not want to do that. But he wants to break that outer shell, the flesh that prevents him from being all he wants to be in and through us. That's key. All he wants to be in us and through us. There's a shell that gets in the way of Jesus being there. He wants to break off things like pride. Nobody said amen to that, but I figured we're on something. Because we all say, everybody has pride. Well, God's saying, hey, that stuff is dangerous. He wants to break rebellion. For some of us, rebellion is just something that kicks in naturally. Like, if you go, you're going east, I'm going to go west. You go west, I'm going east. Go. There was one person in my life, I would always ask them, where are you going? They're going this way, I would go this way. Because I never wanted to be around them. And I thought that was just rebellion through and through. Selfishness is the foundation of all sin. And independence. Never wanting God in our lives, and even people sometimes. God wants us to be totally dependent on Him. Totally. That is what Paul has been addressing the whole time with the church in Corinthians. And suffering seems to bring us to that point. I hope not. I hope you don't wait for suffering to bring you to a place of, surely Jesus is Lord. That you can say, you know what, I can see how God works with this. Brokenness is coming to this place. The idea that you come to Christ because you cannot manage is a fallacy. We come to Christ because He's the source, He's the Alpha and Omega of everything. That's why we come to Christ. And so when we don't get these things right, when we're not getting Christ right, pride gets in the way, rebellion gets in the way, selfishness, all that becomes our shell, independence, and all that gets in the way of God walking with us. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. Everything I just showed there can be foolishness. What are you talking about? I'm talking about allowing Jesus to come in your heart to help you. That being open to being influenced by Jesus Christ. And then it says here that, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. If you understand that as you submit to Christ, that's when He transforms your life, then you give yourself that chance. Yet when you're hurt, you have a hard time to do that. When you have pride, you have a hard time to do that. When you're selfish, you have a hard time to do that. Why? Because you're protecting your shell. You're protecting your shell. But we who are being saved know it is very power of God. As the scripture says, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. Nowadays, we read the internet and believe everything. It's like the internet has become gospel. You know, I have put some stuff on internet. Some of it was just what I liked. I had not even researched it. I just put it there. I mean, they had a strong interview with a guy that owned Wikipedia. He said, why don't you allow people to verify stuff? And he was here and there. And they tried to press him and say, why don't you remove some of that stuff? And he could not give an answer. And yet people believe everything. The Bible is well researched than anything else. Looked at with journalists, anthropologist, scientist, the most looked at scripture taken apart and is proved to stand the test of time. Internet has not hit us even 100 years. Why do we believe everything? You see a video, you say, that's truth. There's fake news now. You got to be careful what you're believing. God is where you have to go to. But that is hard for people who live in the 21st century. We're socialized to touch everything, to see everything, to believe anything. Everything is possible. We can make it happen. That's not true. That is the perception they give you to a point that you believe. And then they have you over. God is the answer to these things, not what the world tells us. That's why it says this wisdom that we so run to, that is in books, that is in other places, that we so run to, God is bigger than that stuff. Now, I'm not saying all that stuff in nonsense. I'm saying it has its value, but that is not the foundation of growth. The foundation of growth is Jesus Christ. Where does this leave philosophers? The scholars and the world, brilliant debaters. God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. These people have been given whatever they have by God, but God is, you can't compare God with these people. But because we struggle to connect with God and to get to the depth of it, we can get confused and say it's easier to go to these people. No. Go to God for your answers. Now, I'm not discouraging you to read any book. I'm not saying that's wrong. Read the book. But ultimately, God is your answer to these issues. And the more you connect to that, the more you'll see that that works. Since God in His wisdom saw to it that the world would never know Him through human wisdom, He has used a foolish preaching to save those who believe. God is using foolish wisdom. Because sometimes when you're so intelligent, simple things don't make sense. Let's face it, Jesus is so simple that we refuse to accept Him. You know, joy, the answers to life, are very simple. If you think about it, when you're arguing and quarreling with somebody, it's because you're simply not saying, I was wrong and you're right. That's the answer to that. But you go through all arguments and all kinds of things, and you get never sort it out. The answer is very simple. He used a man born in a manger to reach out to us. And we don't seem to want to take that. We lack sophistication. If I gave you a phone right now, it says, made by Steve. You look at me and say, Steve, you know how to make a phone? But if I gave you a phone from Apple, you'll ask me, how much? I'll say, well, this is the latest thing, $900. How about that? You can pay me that in 10 months. You'll jump on it, even though we had no debts today, right? You see how we think about things? It's how is it convenient for me? It's never about Jesus. It's never about God. When we think about God, all that changes. It's simple. Simplicity is difficult for us. We don't like simple stuff. We like complicated stuff. Jesus is simple. Anyone can understand Him. The king and the shepherds could walk with Jesus. And He says this. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs for heaven. And it is foolishness for the Greek who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and Gentiles say it is all nonsense. I hope that you say it's true. And I hope that you come to a place of conviction that Jesus is Lord of your life. You know, church, anything you're facing today, Jesus can help you out. But you have to take the effort to come to the cross. You may take the effort to read the scriptures and take the effort to talk about your challenges and take the effort to talk about what you're going through. That is when you overcome. If you don't do that, it's a good story in the Bible that is annoying because it keeps going against your beliefs. And you think, they're old-fashioned. That was me when I was 14 years old. And I thought all these old men are old-fashioned. And then, as life happened, at 21 I said, I need to figure out what life is all about. And I can tell you this. You may be chasing something, chase it, but it will never fill you like Jesus would. You may be chasing money, get it, but it will never fill you like Jesus would. You may be chasing fame, get it, but it will never fill you like Jesus would. You may be chasing a husband, get him, but he will never feel like Jesus would. You may be chasing a wife, get her, but she will never feel you like Jesus would. You may be chasing education, get it, but it will never feel you like Jesus would. You may be chasing status by neighborhood and other places, get it, but it will never feel you like Jesus would. I'm saving you the time. I'm saving you the pain. To tell you all in advance that you can get there, but don't get there empty. Get Jesus as you get there. God bless you.